Hey there, guys, and welcome to a special mock draft edition of the NFL Sunday Supplement. It's that time of the year again, so with free agency winding down, I feel now is probably the best time to do a decent first mock draft.
Well, let's face it, there's nothing really else to talk about. It's been very quiet the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we'll go over the very brief bit of news afterwards, but we'll jump straight in with me today to go through this. We've got Chappers.
Hi, guys.
And Arnie.
You alright, guys?
So, we'll start at the beginning, which there's going to be no shocks here, so don't try and keep this relatively simple. So, first off, we've got Indy. We all agree it's pretty much done. It's going to be Luck.
Done deal, Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Jimmy Isso can say as much as he wants that he's still strongly considering RG3. However, I think it's a done deal. I think Andrew Luck's going.
Yeah, I think it's been decided on since they, it became clear they were going to get the first overall pick. I mean, it just makes too much sense. I mean, how can you not pick him? Because, they'd say all this, he's the best prospect since Elway, Manning, whichever name you hear. But it's all totally justified.
Well, yeah, he's unlike RG3, he's actually played very well consistently.
Yeah,
he's played in the he's the most pro ready of the quarterbacks coming out this year.
Yeah, I mean, Stanford on, he didn't have that great a team around him in Stanford. I mean, yeah, he had a decent O line, but the receivers he had weren't great. Didn't have a dominant running back, that he could just lean on. And his numbers improved with every single year. They gave him greater responsibility every year. He's a smart kid. I think he did like some kind of architecture course.
Oh, I'm not too sure about
something like structural architecture or something. And obviously he's got to be smart to go to Stanford anyway.
Yeah,
it's one of those schools. So
let's see if he can dig up some wins for the Colts.
And then you even look, like, the one thing people may have said, oh, he's not that athletic, and then he goes and matches Cam Newton's numbers at the combine. So,
well, what more do you want?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he may not have a cannon on the level of like a Matthew Stafford, but really that's the only thing you can hold against him. Other than that, I would say he's the best prospect that's been coming out, that's came out since I've really got into the game, because Manning came out the year I started watching. I think it's a done deal. They'd be stupid to do anything else, frankly. As much as RG3 is a great prospect, we're all agreed there then.
Yep.
Awesome. And number two, obviously, RG3. Griffin. Yeah, they're not trading all that up just to go get Matt Khalil, let's face it. So,
no. Good
pick. Do you guys think it was worth what they've given up?
I don't think it was worth it.
Yeah.
I think they gave up a little bit too much.
But it is a lot.
It's a lot, but to get like a franchise quarterback, I think you have to give up quite a lot, especially in the position where there were other teams after him too. Miami, for instance, Cleveland Browns.
Well, it was either they traded up or Cleveland were going to get him. Yeah, so they had to do it. I'm really undecided because I like RG3, but man, three first rounders. No excuse for the Rams not to be awesome, as we've said before, for the next few years. I mean, and he's a great prospect. I think people don't give him enough credit, as Mayock has pointed out many times on the NFL Network, for just how good a pocket passer he actually is. I mean, if you watch him last year, he'd made a lot of throws where he was stood there and there was a guy just about to drill him, and he still made the throw, stood in there. You don't often see that, I find, in college quarterbacks. They're normally a bit more squeamish, I suppose.
I think it's the whole scrambling ability that sort of overshadows his pocket passing.
I think
they've just put that mark on
him. When you see an athlete like that, I mean, he's ridiculous. But he didn't scramble all the time. Like, if you watch Michael Vick back in his days in Virginia, he was running around a lot more. I mean, there's a lot more quarterbacks that just scramble compared to RG3. He didn't tend to, they didn't have that many like QB draws or anything like that built into that offense. So I think he's a functional scrambler. I mean, he's obviously exceptional at it when he does, but you didn't see it all that much. If you look at his passing numbers, they're pretty impressive. So my only sort of thing, he only did it for the 1 year, but from all the stuff I've heard about the kid, it sounds like most years he would have been the number one pick. He just got unlucky this year. Yeah, he was up against Andrew Luck, I suppose.
Yeah.
Again, he didn't have a great supporting cast in Baylor. I mean, he had Kendall Wright, and he led that team as well to wins over much, much better programs in that last season. Far superior teams, and he beat them on his own. So,
Yeah, I don't think you can expect the same level of success though next year.
Oh, absolutely not.
Though.
It's going
to
be
they
tough.
They really need to build around them.
Yeah, I think it's going to take him. Well, the pair of them, both Luck and RG3, they are stepping into some fairly horrible situations. Let's face it. So, yeah, we're all agreed, like the rest of the world, about those picks.
Something
just as predictable, I suppose. With the third pick, I've got Matt Khalil from USC, the offensive tackle going to Mini.
You and about everyone else that's posted a mock draft so far.
It makes too much sense. He's the best prospect in the draft that's not a quarterback.
Even
with the quarterbacks, you could argue he may be as good a prospect as them. They desperately need a left tackle.
Well, yeah, they need to keep Christian Ponder upright. It's the second most important position on the team.
Yeah, I mean, the positional value's there. He's probably the best player on the board.
And he's a very, very good athlete, as we saw at the Combine.
Yeah. Ton of upside. Mm. Absolute ton of it. And his brother's played in the league, so he should have a better understanding of what's required. I mean, you don't really get these kind of opportunities all that often. Whether he can be as good as Joe Thomas, maybe not quite so sure. But the ability is almost there. I figured Thomas was more impressive in college. But if he bulks up, he could become the run blocker that Joe Thomas is. So he really does have like unlimited upside, I think, for the position. The way he's got a lot of room to bulk up. So, yeah, I think he's going to be a monster in Mini. Adrian Peterson will love running behind him if he starts to develop in that regard.
That.
Yeah. I thought Ponder was quite good last year, to be honest.
It
that O-line was atrocious.
Bad, yeah.
So if they get him a bit of help, maybe another receiver.
You never know.
The offense might be a bit better. So yeah, we're all agreed there. All right, now finally, we get to the meat, I suppose.
The tricky pick.
Cleveland's tough.
One of four ways, I think.
I figure they're looking at Trent Richardson, Tannehill,
Claiborne
possibly. I don't personally see it because I think Joe Hayden is looking like he's going to be an elite corner. Can you really afford to have two? Like, I could get it if
it'd be nice. It would be nice to have a good young cornerback tandem that they can work with for years. But I think
they wouldn't be able to work with it for years because if Claiborne develops to the stage where he's a top tier corner, and Joe Hayden already looks like a top tier corner, you can't pay two corners top tier money. You just can't.
No.
The cap does not allow you to spend that kind of money on the corner position, as valuable as it is.
No, it
doesn't make sense to me in that regard.
So they'll go with the sexy pick on offense,
or it'll be Trent Richardson. Well, offense where they need help. Defensively, they were quite a good team last year. They didn't really have that many holes. I mean, they could do a more pass rush, but there's no one I would consider worth taking with this pick in that department. So I've put down Blackmon here because I feel, regardless of the size stuff, I watch the tape, he is an awesome player. As I've said before, ball skills are the closest thing to Larry Fitzgerald I've ever seen. He ran a decent 40, so we know he's got enough speed to stretch the field. He's not going to be, you know, DeSean Jackson burning up the sideline, but, you know, he's good enough. I think he's a top player, and you don't get a shot of them that often. I figure Richardson would make just as much sense in, but then you can get a decent running back. You know, they got two first rounders. They can get a guy like David Wilson or Lamar Miller maybe with the second pick, or they can get someone at the top of the second round. And the drop off won't be as big as the drop off from like Blackmon to, you know, who's going to be available at the top of the second round, like Alshon Jeffrey, Ruben from LSU, and Sanu from Rutgers. Like the drop off is massive there. So I've got Blackmon. Do you guys think?
With Cleveland, I see Trent Richardson still going to him, obviously, with the loss of Peyton Hillis.
Yeah,
I just see that as a fit.
Fair enough.
I'm kind of mixed with the two. I'm leaning more on Justin Blackmon, but I don't know. Do you pass up on the next best running prospect since Adrian Peterson, as everyone keeps saying?
I know it's tough. It's just I look at the needs there, and how can you expect to win with the receivers they have?
I agree. So, well, they managed to beat us last year, but mind you, we were garbage.
That is bearing in mind Mike Holmgren really doesn't like drafting receivers. I think in his whole time he was with Seattle, they took one in the first round. So, and they needed receivers a lot of those years.
Yeah.
So, I just think Blackman's like a special player, so I think they'll go with him. So we'll see what happens. It is definitely a tough one to pick. I think it could be any of the three offensive guys. Because
yeah,
Tannehill,
yeah.
He's definitely not the top player on the board, but you know, quarterback is that essential.
Do you see him as an upgrade from Colt McCoy, Ryan Tannehill, considering how little college experience he had?
Yeah, absolutely. From a physical skill set, he's vastly superior to Colt McCoy.
Yeah, but if they pick him, who would he have to throw to?
No one. But you'd sit. I feel you're going to have to sit him for at least a year, so he can learn the system. Because as you said, he's not very experienced. I think it would be a bold coach to throw in. You know, you bear in mind, he's been picked this high, but he's probably not as good as that draft position. So, I think it would be very, very risky to dump him in day one, especially with no one to throw to in Cleveland's case or in Miami's case if he winds up there as is. Also,
I don't know, we've got Devon Best, Brian Hartline, we've still got Clyde Gates to try out next year, we might bring in another receiver at some point.
Yeah, things could be alright, but looking at what you've got now and what they've shown, you've got a good slot receiver, a half decent tight end,
and Philbin does want to use Reggie Bush more as a receiver as well, because his receiving numbers drop.
We can see that happening, because they did that in New Orleans and he was quite useful in that role, so
yeah.
I don't see why they wouldn't. Anyway, we'll move on from Cleveland. My beloved Tampa Bay Bucks. I got them going for Maurice Claiborne.
Yep, Maurice Claiborne, definitely.
If the Browns don't pick Richardson and they go with Blackman, I see Tampa Bay picking up Trent Richardson. If they don't...
Well, those are definitely the two players it's between.
Yeah.
I can't see them considering anyone
else.
Picks,
I feel for that one.
Yeah, I agree.
One of the two.
But I really think corner is such a massive need, and I look at the Buccaneers division. I think, right, so you've got the Saints with Colston and friends and all the many receivers they've got there. You've got Carolina with Steve Smith and Cam Newton, and then you've got Atlanta with Julio Jones, Roddy White.
Yeah.
And at the minute, you don't know what's going on with Aqib Talib, and they won't know before the draft. So your corners at the minute are Eric Wright, who I'd nicknamed Toast for the last few years in his time in Detroit and Cleveland. You've got old man Rondé, who I love, but you know,
he's
you
old.
Do not want him starting these days. Then you've got EJ Biggers and Albert Mack.
We won't go into that.
You have to go with the top corner in the draft. You've got to.
Sure.
Again, I'll go back, you know, this devaluing of running backs, which to some degree I disagree with, because I think a top level runner is such a weapon to have. But in this case, Tampa have a ton of needs on D. The D was a mess last year. It was the worst D I've ever seen in Tampa, and one of the worst I've ever seen, full stop. So you just have to.
Well, if you do pick up Claiborne, I don't think anyone would be happier than LeGarrette Blount. Have you seen his comments recently about if they do pick Richardson?
Yeah, it's because he knows he won't see the field unless Richardson's injured.
I know, it'll be a third and short yardage guy, really.
Yeah,
the
thing is, there are a lot of backs that I quite like in this draft, especially sort of speed guys like your LaMichael James that you can take later on to complement Blount. And I figure you just got to hope Blount gets it. Because bear in mind, right, last year he was atrocious and no help in passing situations. He was no good at that. You know, apparently he couldn't really learn or understand the scheme. But they didn't have an off-season last year. And the year before, he wasn't with the team for the full off-season in his rookie year because he was bouncing around practice squads and stuff like that. He was in Tennessee first, weren't he, for some of the pre-season.
We drafted him last year, didn't we?
You picked him up undrafted and released him, and then he ended up in Tampa like a week before the regular season, so he's not actually had a full off season. So I figured, you know, maybe take another guy to compliment him. And I love Richardson, I would love to see him in Tampa, to be honest, and it could happen, just because I think, you know, they might be thinking, well, we'll try and build around Freeman this year and just hope it all comes together. But
this is the mystery that the Browns have given us. They can go one of four ways, and it sort of it does mess up the top ten.
And and unfortunately, Holmgren's done very, very little to give away what they're going to do.
Kept a good poker face so far.
Yeah, and Minnesota's been the funniest actually, because the GM's been coming out and been like, "Yeah, we are open to trade, and we're also going to consider Maurice Claiborne." It's like, no, you're not. You'll talk about it for 5 minutes. They're going to run up. That will be a very quick pick because they'd be mad not to take Matt Khalil. Absolutely mad. All right. Now things get a bit interesting. So we agree, it's Claiborne or Richardson.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I think both would make sense, to be honest. It'd be hard to criticise them for either one. I just think the positional value is with the corner. That's where they have to go. And bear in mind as well, they've got Maurice Claiborne's secondary DB coach from LSU.
That's true.
As a DB coach in Tampa. So they know as much about him as anyone.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Six, at St. Louis. Now, I've gone an interesting direction here. I have him taking Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle.
How come when you've got Dontari Poe in that list, well, Mayock's number one?
He was Mayock's number one.
Oh, is it
Fletcher Cox is now Mayock's number one.
Oh, what's happening there?
He watched the game tape of Dontari Poe.
Oh yeah, true, he's inconsistent. Yeah, I remember.
He watched
it
and was like, he's
this,
very
yeah.
average. And it's true. But that's why no one spoke about him. You know, notice how no one talked about him before the combine other than say how huge he was.
Yeah,
so I figure I really like Fletcher Cox. Firstly, Jeff Fisher loves linemen.
Yeah.
He always loved linemen in Tennessee. They could do with some defensive tackles because they've got Quinn and at defensive end, who they got last year. They've got Chris Long, who's a stud. But I look at their defensive tackle position and think, it's not very good. They shored up corner a little. There's no one I'd consider worth taking here. I wouldn't feel good about taking a receiver here if I was them. They may consider Richardson because they need someone to replace Steven Jackson, who at some point the wheels have to fall off. I mean, the amount he's seen the ball in his career is ridiculous.
Mm.
But I suppose he's shown no signs of it. I can't think of an O-lineman. They could go O-line, but again, it just seems like a Jeff Fisher pick to me would be to pick that sort of pass rushing DT. I think Cox is versatile. You can ask him to do a lot of things. I think he's going to rise up boards. I think he's going to be a good player.
No, fair enough. That's an interesting insight.
Yeah, well, what do you guys see him doing?
I think he'll go Richardson if he's still available.
Yeah,
I think he's a good prospect. I don't think they'll pass up.
Fair enough. I could see that.
I agree with that, but I do see him picking up a defensive tackle.
Yeah, I know Jeff Fisher too well.
It just seems like it does seem like the sort of thing he would do.
Yeah, I mean, the other problem as well that they're another one of them teams that has nobody at the wide receiver position, but I don't think they'd take Floyd here.
It's a bit high.
Well, he's flying up draft boards. I'm not sure about it.
Unless you want to be really ambitious and they give that pick to the Steelers and pick up Wallace. But
if Blackman's still available at that point, then
if Blackman's there, they're going for Blackman. Yeah. No doubt in my mind. But well, we'll see. So we got Richardson, and you're with me. They're going to go with the DT.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So we'll move on. Jacksonville always difficult to predict because Gene Smith takes who Gene Smith wants. He definitely doesn't pay any attention to mock drafts or anyone else's big board, as we've seen the last few years with the Alualu pick, Blaine Gabbert, the trade up for him, which definitely does not look good right now.
Oh no, it does not.
There's been a few others, so I have them taking Melvin Ingram.
I see that.
It does make sense. To be I actually, before Chad Henne moved to Jacksonville, I actually thought they might have a shot at Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
To compete with Gabbert, but with him picking Henne up, I don't see the point.
There's a couple of ways to look at this. I mean, obviously I need help for Blaine Gabbert. That offense is Maurice Jones-Drew and not much else.
Yeah.
The O-line is okay, actually. I feel I don't need help there. They need receivers bad, and they need pass rush. Because the whole time that I've been watching the game, I don't ever remember the Jags having anybody on the outside that you really worry about. And I think Ingram's a really versatile sort of player. I think he's going to be a good pass rusher. He's probably the highest rated pass rusher in the draft these days. Whilst offensively, I mean, they could definitely justify taking Floyd.
But they picked up Laurent Robinson on quite a big salary, so...
Yeah, it's tough because...
Not someone, at least.
To some degree, you know, Gene Smith's job is riding on Blaine Gabbert being better. If Gabbert stinks it up again next year, then he could be out of there. And I think they've got quite a good D. If they can just focus on making that the strength of the team, running mojo like maybe 350 plus times next year,
yeah,
and then just hope they can win games that way, because it can be done. You can win with a mediocre quarterback as long as you don't turn it over. And I think, frankly, regardless whether they have the receivers, mediocre is as good as they can hope for from Gabbert next year.
Yeah,
because he looked as bad as I've ever seen.
Did you see Melvin Ingram going higher than Copels?
No. Yeah, absolutely.
Was that because of his draft or because of his...
Ingram, I think, is the more explosive of the two players. I think that's more important than ever these days.
I think he's got the smarts as well, being able to be so versatile. Yeah. You've got to have the smarts as well. So
and
it makes sense.
You have to question... I mean, Jacksonville especially are one of them teams that prefer to take these high-character guys. And you do not have that with Copels. I mean, I heard something, apparently he was talking to Charles Cassley on NFL Network, and he was like, so what would you say to those teams that were like questioning your effort last year? He was like, well, they were right too, I didn't give it my all the time, or something like, I'd give my effort a C. I was like, okay, that's probably not the approach I would take to convincing teams, but I think his stock's falling. He just didn't look all that good last year. He's got all the ability, Copels, like from a physical standpoint, but I just...
Yeah, you can see that.
I think you got to go with Ingram. I think he's more explosive. I think that's what they need. They need an edge rusher, especially because you look at... Again, it's similar to like the NFC South in that you've got... Jake Locker looked good last year. Then you got Shorb. And... who's the other team? Oh, there's going to be Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
So... you're going to want some pass rush to deal with those three in the future, because if Locker and Luck develop, then yeah, it's going to be a lot of throwing in that division.
I'm going to go O-line at this pick.
Oh yeah,
purely for the fact that I think they need to give Blaine Gabbert more chance of staying upright, and they've invested in Laurent Robinson, give him a bit of protection, give him a bit more time to try and find him. I'm going to go Jonathan Martin with this pick.
Fair enough.
Helps Mojo out in the way as well.
Yeah, and there's that. Not that he needs much help. Let's face it, he's been absolutely superb with the stinking O-lines.
Their O-line's not great.
It's not great, but I think Martin's a definite upgrade. So
yeah, I think they're quite happy though with the two young guys they got. To me, I'd say Ingram or Floyd. Floyd is a bit of a long shot, but I could see it happening.
I disagree. I think Martin or Ingram, two safe picks. I think I'm going to lean more towards O-line just because of what they've invested in this year.
Yeah, I get that.
That's my...
See them picking up Copels.
Fair enough.
Not Ingram.
Alright, next up we got Miami.
Three.
Alright, so we'll let you go. You know who I've picked.
Oh, what a tough one.
What would you do, first of all?
If it was up to me, I don't know how Miami fans are going to react to this, but I would seriously go pass rush to help Cameron Wake out and wait for a quarterback next year. If you're going to go all out for a quarterback, go for one you know is worth way more. If you're in some sort of position, try and go for that Landry Jones or that Matt Barkley.
A lot of players aren't a lot of people aren't as high on Matt Moore as you are as well.
Well, to be honest,
I mean, that's the difference. Most Finns fans feel like life is hopeless with Matt Moore.
It's not completely hopeless, but when you look at the quarterbacks we've been linked with over the summer and we haven't actually managed to bring anyone in, I'm fairly comfortable with Matt Moore. I'd like to see what he can do this season.
I'd say from the way Moore played at the end of last year, the only one who was a definite upgrade was Peyton.
I'd agree with that, but I'm quite happy he didn't turn up to us, to be honest. I'm going to go pass rush and I'm going to say Melvin Ingram.
If he's there
at this pick.
In this scenario, he's not there.
If not, I can see Quinton Copels. For me, definite pass rush. More realistic, Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I've just gone with Tannehill. Yeah. I think Ingram would be considered because I think he's perfect for, from all accounts I've heard, it is going to be a hybrid 3-4 scheme now.
As well, yeah.
And I think that is probably the way to go for him. Well, I mean, they were doing that before anyway, so.
Well, it makes sense. We kept Paul Soley, like, so if it doesn't work out at 4-3, we'll go back to 3-4. Have Soley like nose tackles, Starks on one side, Odrick on the other side.
Yeah, got Ingram there as well, he's perfect for that. Him and Wake would be, I feel, a really versatile pairing that can play both down on the ground and standing up. So I think that would be a great pick for him.
And also, I was actually kind of looking at Koemisi to come in next year and help out a little bit, but he's been arrested on a battery assault charge, so I don't know what the hell's
going
to go on.
Like a domestic one, or...?
I'm not too sure. I haven't heard the ins and outs. Apparently, this was an incident that happened last year, but the paperwork's only just been filed now, and he's only just been arrested for it. So even his agent isn't too sure what's going on. So I'd like to see some pass rush come in, help out Cameron Wake massively, reap the benefits on D. Because we've got a good D. I just think, you know, one more piece, at least one more piece.
I really feel like they're going to go Tannehill. I feel like the links there between. Who is it? Is it Philbin or is it... It's the offensive coordinator.
Mike Sherman. Yeah, Mike Sherman. The old Texas A&M offensive coordinator. Plus, we've taken him out to lunch as well before his pro day. So, we've got to know him a bit better. But I'd be comfortable with Ryan Tannehill, but I think there's better quarterbacks that will come out next year.
If I'm being totally honest. You're in position to get them.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know.
I suppose they could wait till next year and then give up the farm for one of the... higher rated prospects next year, who knows?
Yeah, we could, but also we need a receiver as well. I've heard Floyd's name been mentioned in there, but again,
it could happen, but I just don't think
it could.
With the fan base in the position it is, and with some of the other needs on the team, I do not think picking Michael Floyd is the way to go.
Well, we've got a speedster in Clyde Gates, he didn't get many snaps. I think Philbin's going to give him a bit more of a chance next year. He wants to spread the receptions going to his receivers, so yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Well, as well as that, I figure, you know, if you're running that Green Bay type scheme, you don't really need to have that elite guy. Now, the thing is, like, the Packers have Greg Jennings, who I consider to be on that level.
Yeah,
but you saw when they like took Greg Jennings out, they still work because they've got a group of efficient receivers that all do a different kind of job. You don't necessarily need that top guy.
Yeah, it's still a bit sour when you let someone of Brandon Marshall's physical abilities actually trade away for so little. I think it's the so little that really hurts.
It's tough, but ultimately, do you not think the locker room is actually happy that Marshall is gone? Because I think he's
known as the worst type of quarterback killer. He kills his own. He's not like... So, we threw Chad Henne under a bus. He apparently slated Matt Moore off something rotten.
Yeah, which is odd, because Moore was actually more than respectable.
Yeah.
I think when he took over, he was like in the top 10 in, if you like, from when he took over to the end of the year, he was in the top 10 in passer rating with the top 5 TD to pick ratio. So
yeah, and even when Brandon played up against more than capable corners, especially against the likes of Revis, Moore didn't really take Moore still kept account of him. He still dared to throw at him as well.
Moore certainly had the cojones to throw at Revis quite a lot in those two games.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to give Moore another this season if we get Tannehill.
He's
going to
play
start.
This year, even if you draft Tannehill. I cannot see him.
Yeah, and bring
start.
In David Garrard. That's just. I think that was just.
I mean, it's either Tannehill or some pass rush. I can't see anything else.
No, on a personal point, I'd like more pass rush.
Fair enough.
That's what I'd like.
I personally see you going pass rush as well.
Thank you. Yeah, someone who agrees.
Hey, I don't want to put Tannehill this high. I just feel. That's the way things are going to go down.
Well, I just think because of the whole picking up David Garrard, I just really don't see you picking up.
Yeah, but he's like, Garrard's on a non.
It's a non-guaranteed. They can cut him before the season begins.
Right. And it's something like it's only like a million or something like that. We don't even have to pay the full amount. We can just say nah, see you later.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on to Carolina. I have them picking Michael Floyd.
What was the replacement for Steve Smith?
Future replacement, it gives them a tandem for the next couple of years.
Because
I look outside of Smith, they don't really have anything. I think he'd be the right kind of player to pair with Smith and Newton to give them a really scary offense. Because you look at the running backs they've got. I mean, I don't really know why they picked up Mike Tolbert, to be honest. I thought they were happy with D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. But yeah, they got a great set of backs. They'll be loaded at the skill positions. Because I look outside of Smith, their receivers are not good. They are not good at all. So I think Floyd, a bit of a surprise pick, because I mean there's a lot of ways they could go. Their D does need quite a lot of help. I think they'll consider Quetchley. Could go corner, a guy like Kirkpatrick, or even, I don't know if Gilmore's going to rise that high, maybe even Janoris Jenkins. No, that would be very risky. I don't see that happening now that I've mentioned him. They could also go over DT, maybe Michael Brockers, Poe, if they like his physical ability enough. But I just think the way teams are building in the NFC South, especially around offense, I think Floyd is the way to go, with Smitty getting near that age.
Kind of a difficult one.
It's difficult because they've got so many needs. They've said they might go O-line as well, but I'm guessing because of Jeff Otar's inability to stay healthy, but he's quite a good player, so I figure maybe they just hope he stays healthy for the year. You never know.
No, I'm going to go with a big body defensive tackle. I'm going to say Dontari at this point. That's my pick for him.
Fair enough. I've got him falling quite far in this, Mark. Quite far.
Well, originally I did have him having Devon Still, but he's fell quite a bit as well.
Yeah,
he's not even in
my first round.
You think he's?
I think he's good enough. I just don't think he's going to be picked in the first round.
No, that's fair enough. No, I think they'll take the Dontari Poe hype, and I think they'll run with it.
Fair enough.
I think Floyd seems the right option for them.
Yeah, well, that's just one of my original picks, I suppose.
You
I've
need
not
to give
seen
Cam Newton a bit more help.
Yeah, I think it would be a really good pairing.
Yeah.
Right, so 10, Buffalo. Originally, before the Mario Williams signing, it had to be pass rush. I feel they're probably feeling pretty good about that right now. That position.
Oh, hell yeah. Have you seen what they got?
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a good D-line. I look forward to watching it. But I've given them Riley Reiff.
No, that's fair. Yeah.
I think they need O-line help. Probably the top rated O-line. Well, he's not rated as highly as DeCastro, but I think their interior is quite good.
Yeah, so. I remember originally we talked about Riley Reiff for Miami not that long ago.
Yeah, he could have gone there, but Miami now has bigger needs, I feel, than right tackle. So, to me, this is a bit of a no-brainer. I couldn't really think of it. I mean, they could do with a backer. Quetchy would be a good pick here, because I really rate Quetchy. I think he's going to be a top player. But I don't think they'll pick him. So we're all agreed?
Yeah.
Tackle?
Yeah, tackle.
If not Reiff, maybe John Martin, but I think Reiff is probably the better prospect.
Well, I'm going to go Reiff, because I've got Martin going to Jags. So, yeah, I'll go Reiff for you.
Fair enough. Number 11, I've got David DeCastro going to KC. Positional value not great, a lot of people would say, but I think DeCastro is easily the most dominant guard I've seen coming out of college. And you put him next to Eric Winston.
Ooh, that's
with
good.
Jamal Charles and Peyton Hillis. That's
I do like that. That does sound very sexy.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that would be fun to watch. So I can see that happening. I know KC don't care about positional value. They drafted Eric Berry number 5. DeCastro just makes perfect sense to me. He looks like a chief. So I'm gonna go with that.
I'm gonna go with you.
Yeah,
sounds like they're just. Bear in mind they've just picked up Hillis as well.
I'm gonna focus on that.
I'm gonna go with it because I really don't want to see him winding up with someone like the Jets. So.
He's not gonna fall that far.
Oh, hopefully
I'd
not.
Be very disappointed if he did. Right, so next up is Seattle. I've got them taking Quinton Coples. Their D-line's quite good. I just don't think there's any consistency in terms of getting to the quarterback. They've got guys that can get there, but they're not going to get you them 10-plus sack years. I think they'll look at Coples as the only sort of remaining guy in the draft that's got that kind of potential. It's the one thing I feel is missing from their D as well, apart from maybe a bit of linebacker play. I think it'd be a great pickup for him. You put him on what's already quite a good D-line with Brandon Mebane and what's the fella they re-signed? I can't believe I've got his name. But you've got Chris Clemens, who's also their one good rusher, who's getting up there in age. Raheem Brock is not good. So, it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, agreed.
I actually see them picking up Tannehill.
If he's there.
If he's there, yeah.
Yeah, they've signed
Flynn.
They've still got Tavares there as well.
They've still got Tavares. So.
Long shot could happen. Yeah. Seen stranger things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Certainly. Notice how Richardson is still not off the board in here. I'm going to give a quick disclaimer now. What I've got currently is Richardson going to the Jets at pick 16, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think a team is going to trade up for Trent Richardson in this kind of range from sort of Jacksonville down, because I could see Jacksonville trading down and some of the other teams around there, Carolina, I think they'd be willing to. I think someone will trade up to pick up Richardson.
Just, who do you see?
Since he definitely have the ammunition to do it with two first rounders, the Browns could think about it if they're willing to give up their first rounder next year, but that would be shocking to me. There's not a lot of teams, so I'm looking in this sort of 10 to 20 range, and this is why it was hard for me to slot him in now, or even higher than that. So you look at Jacksonville, they got Mojo, they don't need him. St. Louis have Steven Jackson. Miami are probably happy with Reggie Bush. Carolina have a ton of running backs. Buffalo got CJ Spiller and Fred Jackson. KC, they definitely don't need a running back. Seattle have Marshawn Lynch. Arizona have Beanie Wells, and they got Ryan Williams in the second last year, who didn't play because he got injured before the season. Dallas have Felix Jones and DeMarco Murray. Philly have LeSean McCoy. And then you hit the Jets.
I was just thinking of the scheme of Holt, Sanchez, Tebow, and
I don't think he's going to fall to the Jets. I am convinced someone would trade up. Even the Pats could, because they've got two first rounders.
Yeah, they've lost Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. They've only got Danny Woodhead. So
exactly.
Yeah, that could.
But they drafted a ton of running backs last year because they got Shane Vereen, drafted someone else in the third or fourth. So. Yeah, anyway, moving on. So, done with Copels. Next up is Arizona. I've got them taking Luke Kuechly to play inside backer. I think they may have looked at, you know, they run this Steelers fire zone scheme, which is all about linebackers. Now, I don't think there's an outside backer worth taking at this point, unless you want to really risk a conversion guy like maybe Whitney Mercilus or someone. Even then, it would be a bit high for him. So I figured Kuechly, you look at like what San Francisco did last year with Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. You look at the Steelers, who have had, you know, Lawrence Timmons and James Farrier these last few years.
Yeah.
Kuechly and Darrell Washington would be a really, really, really fast pairing. And I think they'd give a lot of versatility to that scheme, and that's what you want from backers. So I think he'd be a great pickup. I think they're praying the Castro falls to them, but
yeah, the Castro would be nice. It'd be nice for him, but
they need O line help so bad. If not him, they'll have to go with John Martin, because they need linemen. Otherwise, Kevin Cobb's going to get killed again.
For what they've invested in Cobb and the O line.
Yeah,
they've got O line somewhere.
Fair enough. I mean, Floyd could also be an option if he was to fall to them, because Floyd and Fitzy, that would be quite a pairing. But I feel they're all right at wide receiver.
That's true. Floyd would give them the sort of upfield speed that Fitzy doesn't necessarily have. So that would be good, interesting combo.
Yeah. So yeah, I really do think they'll go. I think Kuechly's a top quality player. I probably rate him a lot higher than most people do. So
that's fair enough.
All right, at number 14, Dallas. I have them taking Mark Barron, the safety from Alabama. First safety off the board. Only one I've got coming off in the first round, but my word, do they need secondary help in Dallas?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they got Brandon Carr, and I think it was Abe Elam. They signed off the Browns. It's like, yeah, that's all well and good. You still need secondary help, Dallas. And Barron.
Yeah, that one worked.
Barron's a good player. I think he'd fit in really well. They don't have a huge amount of needs, because I thought, you know, they needed O-linemen, but they went and picked up a Mackenzie Bernadeu from Carolina and Nate Livings off of Cincy, so that solves the O-line in theory. Got Carr, still got Mike Jenkins, so corner should be a bit better, so leave safety.
I think they should draft a mechanic for Tony Romo's clutch.
You can get a good mechanic in the second or third round.
I'm going to say Drake Kirkpatrick.
Fair enough.
This one. I did have him for the Bengals, but I quite like the idea of having him and Dez Bryant in the same record. That'd be interesting.
Go to Detroit, sounds like he might fit right in.
See, with you saying about the mechanic, to, you know, I think they should pick a doctor to stop him choking.
Someone.
But yeah, I see him picking Baron.
Fair enough. Right, moving on from the comedy hour. We got Philly. I've got Michael Brockers going to Philly. I think they'd love Quetchley if he's there, but I know Philly, and they'll pick linemen because Andy Reid likes people that remind him of him, so he takes linemen.
Yeah. That just works.
Yeah. And you put Brockers, who I don't rate that high because he's just so inconsistent, but I think you put him alongside Trent Cole and Babin.
But the thing is, that could be, Philly have already come out and said they're looking to improve their D this year.
Yeah.
So that obviously,
I don't think there's a backer worth taking. Brockers just, I don't know, it's just a Philly move to make. Andy Reid loves linemen.
Yeah.
So, unless they could, I suppose they could go tackle now. Jason Peters has gone down, which is a big bit of news.
Yeah.
He was arguably, like, well, he was definitely one of the top tackles in the league last year, so they're going to miss him. Do we all agree? Where do you see Philly going, Chappers?
Philly, I think they might go best available on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know why, it's just something, I can see Philly doing.
Fair dues. Well, we shall see. Now, for the Jets, I've got Trent Richardson down there at the minute, but I don't see it happening. So I've got my alternate pick for them, which is Whitney Mercilus. So if he's still there, I think they'll go with him. They need pass rush. They need pass rush bad.
They need pass rush. So this is where I actually see Melvin Ingram going.
I can't see him falling that far. I just can't.
Yeah.
If he does, yeah, I've got no doubt they'd, you know, Rex Ryan would run or try to run to hand that draft card in. I just can't see it happening. But they just need pass rush desperately. I mean, they could draft a quarterback, but
what's the point? Nothing's going to work.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I don't know, they could even go with a defensive lineman or even a guard. But I suppose if they were going to go guard, you'd probably be looking at what's the big guy, Big Cordy Glenn. But we'll see. So moving on, since he's first pick, I have Dre Kirkpatrick going here.
I've got him to the Cowboys, so next best available corner.
Yeah, fair enough. That'd probably be Gilmore. Or Janoris Jenkins. I suppose they don't mind taking characteristics in Cincy. I figure they need a corner with Leon Hall coming off knee injury.
Yeah.
The only other guys have got, like, Pac-Man Jones. I'm not sure you trust. Oh, no, it's Adam Jones now. He's not Pac-Man Jones anymore.
No, it's done it.
Now he's no longer a criminal. He doesn't like the name Pac-Man anymore. I think Kirkpatrick makes sense. They'll overlook the character issues. Yeah. And he's a good player. They're probably quite lucky to get him at this juncture. So he'd be a great pickup. Anyone see anything different happening there?
No.
I'll go for a mad one. If they're going to ignore character issues, go Alshon Jeffrey. have the Saint and AJ Green, then the sinner in him. So
fair enough. Number 18, we got the Chargers. I've got them taking John Martin. Rivers needs to be protected, I feel. Got Chris Dealman retired. Marcus McNeil, the left tackle, he struggles staying healthy. They need a right tackle because Jeremy Clary is awful. No offence if you're listening. I've got them taking Jonathan Martin. And again, it just makes too much sense to me. They need to protect Rivers.
Yeah, O-line.
Yeah.
If not, maybe Cordy Glenn. So those are the two. Chicago, I've got them. At this point, I was torn because I figured they could well take Kendall Wright. because another receiver is not a bad idea, especially because what's his name?
Brandon's going to miss.
Yeah, Brandon's probably going to miss some games, and Johnny Knox is coming off a really bad injury. He might not be available, so.
But they need to protect Cutler though.
They do, but they apparently they're really happy with their O line.
Really? How can you be happy with that?
They played okay for a spell last year.
Does Cutler like playing behind crap?
Well, maybe he does. Maybe he does. They improved a bit last year. I've got them actually taking Stephen Gilmore. Because I figure they'll look at the division they're in and they'll be like, right, we need to stop Aaron Rodgers. We need to stop Megatron. We need an upgrade at corner. So their corners aren't great, and you don't need great corners for the cover two, but I feel playmaker is something they need there. And Charles Tillman isn't going to keep going forever, so I can definitely see him going in a different direction. O-line and receiver both still scream at me, as does linebacker, because they're going to need to replace Briggs and Urlacher eventually. Fair enough. It was a tough one for me. It was tough. So, yeah. Next up is Tennessee.
Yeah.
So
I see us going with the Masters.
Fair
or
enough.
A linebacker.
Yeah, linebacker's a tough one at this juncture for a 4-3 team.
The thing is, the way I see it, we've got the needs we've got are obviously defensive end, which we've picked up quite a few, but as you say, you can never have enough.
Yeah, Wimbley is a good pickup, but even then, you still need more, and you can hope Morgan breaks out this year.
Yeah. I think we it'd be nice to have another receiver. Obviously to go alongside Britt and Washington, because I don't believe, you know, Williams, Hawkins or Mariani, I don't think they're going to burst out. And obviously another one, cornerback, which apparently we were in talks with getting Asante Samuel off the Eagles.
Yeah.
If that goes through, then obviously I don't think we'll pick up a corner.
I do have Merciless.
Linebacker or Merciless.
Assuming
right.
He doesn't go to the Jets. If not, it'll be the next best pass rusher on the ball, which is probably Nick Perry. I figure they're just going to try and stock up on pass rushes. Yeah. Munchak seems determined not to pick a lineman, but that could just be, you know, trying to mislead people.
Yeah.
They could also go DT, I suppose.
We could go DT. Obviously, we've got picked up Klug and Casey.
Casey
last
had a
year.
Very good year. Klug's a good rotational player,
but
then Derek Marks and Smith are not
weren't
great
last year. But I don't think we go guard or anything like that, because picking up Steve Hutchinson, we're looking into picking up a centre now. So
I suppose they could go with like Peter Cons, but I just think it's going to be a pass rusher at this juncture.
Yeah, but it's going to be a linebacker or a defensive end. That's the way I see it.
Fair enough. Right, pick 21 is Cincy on the board again. I have them giving this pick to the Steelers, though, to get Mike Wallace, because why wouldn't you? Why the heck not, right? A divisional rival, you take their best receiver, you give them a first-round pick, you're not going to get anyone as good as Mike Wallace with the 21st pick in the draft. You're just not. You then have AJ Green, Mike Wallace for the next decade, with Andy Dalton throwing him the ball.
Seems viable.
If
I
was a Bengals fan, I would be like ringing the stadium, sending him angry emails, doing whatever it takes to make this happen. Why are there no like billboards in Cincinnati saying "Go get Mike Wallace"?
Because they're sensible and they know damn well that it doesn't work.
Three
teams did try that.
I figure
do not work
with Paul Brown. If you put up billboards, he's more likely to be like no. Just because people are trying to get him to do it.
Yeah.
But still, that it makes too much sense. Regardless of whether it happens or not, I've got it here because it's what they should do. And I'm not standing down on this.
I don't see that happen.
Fair enough. Well, I have the Steelers taking Cordy Glenn in this spot because they need to protect Roethlisberger. Cordy Glenn's a massive guy, a lot of potential, and he's versatile. Can play tackle and guard, and they need both. So, there we go. Makes perfect sense to me. And since he gets Mike Wallace, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Next up is Cleveland with their next pick. I've got Nick Perry, giving him another pass rusher.
Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah, he's good 4-3 end. He'll partner up with Jabal Sheard. It'll give him a really good D-line if those guys can all develop. Sheard, played well early on in the year, seemed to burn out toward the end of the season, as a lot of rookies do. You'd have him, Nick Perry, Phil Taylor from Baylor, and the other big guy, Atiba Rubin. That'd be a pretty good D-line.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be a great pickup for him.
I think Lamar Miller, if they don't pick up Richardson.
Fair enough. Yeah, they do.
If he's still, they do need a running back now, yeah.
Yeah, that I can also see. Even another receiver.
Well, it'd be a shame. I'd hate to see. I've been a Hurricanes fan. I would hate to see Lamar Miller wasting his career in Cleveland. So.
Hey, they might be good one day.
Yeah.
All right.
So tongue-in-cheek.
Next up is Detroit. I have them taking Mike Adams, the offensive tackle. I figure, yeah, they need O-line help like all the time. Gosdescherlis is not particularly good on the right side. Jeff Backus is quite old. I think they only gave him like a 1 or 2 year deal when they re-signed him this year, so he's on the downside of his career. He's the best available tackle.
Maybe someone in that secondary.
Yeah, that's just as viable.
Secondary help, let's face it.
Yeah, that is true. And considering the situation with Nick Fairley and Mikel LeSure getting busted for weed, I figure now would actually be quite a good time for him to go get a fella from Central Florida. He'd fit right on in.
Yeah.
Janoris Jenkins. Great player, bit loopy.
There you go.
So he'd fit right on in. Yeah, I figure those are the two directions. That secondary is terrible. So they could go any direction in the secondary and it'd be an upgrade.
Yep.
Next up is the Steelers. I've taken Donta Hightower because he's going to be the replacement for James Farrier. He'll be there forever. And
he looks like he's built for the Steelers.
Yes, he does.
He just looks like a Steelers.
So, yeah, we're all agreed there. Easy one. Mm-hmm. That won't take long. I've then got Denver taking Lamar Miller. I think they need a running back. Moreno has not impressed me in his time there, which is a shame because I rated him highly when he came out of college. Fumbles a lot, struggled to stay healthy, not done very well in general, and McGahee's getting up there.
Problem is with Lamar Miller though, because obviously there's been talk that he doesn't learn playbooks as well as other running backs. He struggles a little bit with the complicated sort of offense that Peyton Manning's going to run. Do you think he might struggle slightly, especially having to listen off the line as well? Do you think it might not register with him quick enough?
Possibly. It's always difficult to know how much truth there is to these kind of things. If that is the case, then I would just replace him with David Wilson.
I personally see them picking up like Stephen Hill, someone like that. They need receivers and give Peyton Manning a bit more.
Well, at this juncture, Kendall Wright is still on the board here, so I'd definitely have him rated higher.
They need to protect their investment as well.
They've got quite a good O-line in Denver. It's not great and could do with upgrading. Peyton's very, very good at getting rid of the ball. I mean, he played behind a sieve in Indy for years and made them look better than they were, so I figure they'll be fine. I mean, Ryan Clady is probably like the best guy they've had since Tarik Glenn way back when. So I think a running back makes sense, or a receiver. I can't see it going on the D. The D is solid. I think they'll look at offense, and those are the two that strike me as most needing, because I really don't like the skill positions in Denver right now.
No.
McGahee's a good player, but he's hit the over the age of 30. I don't think you can trust a running back over that age just to stay healthy or just to generally remain productive over the course of a whole season. Right, next up is Houston. I've got them taking Kendall Wright. They'll be dancing in the streets at the fact he fell to them. If this pans out this way, I feel they need someone across from Andre Johnson. That roster really doesn't have many holes, so I really struggled. I was looking up and down that roster and was like, they could go corner maybe. Janoris Jenkins would be great value at this juncture, but
maybe a linebacker,
possibly. I think they're happy with the guys they have there, so I think that Kendall Wright is just the, to me it's the biggest hole on that team.
Yeah.
Is when I look who's playing across from Andre Johnson.
It makes sense. That division's now there for the taking. Really, after
absolutely.
Last year, so add more weapons, do better in the playoffs. Yeah. receiver.
Yeah, and he's the best on the board. It could, I mean, it could well be Stephen Hill, especially if Kendall Wright goes earlier, which he could well do. Makes sense to you?
Yeah.
Cool. Next up is the Patriots. I've got them taking Courtney Upshaw with their first pick.
I've got them picking anything on D.
Anything that offers pass rush.
Yeah.
I think Upshaw is a bit of a sort of hybrid player. I've heard a lot of people saying they don't know what position he'll play. That's fine. That suits the Patriots down to a T. That's the kind of player they love to have. So I think he's a good player. He'd fit right in New England. He just seems like a pat. I think he'd be a real good fit. They'd move him around a lot. Maybe play him a bit at D end. Maybe play him a bit outside backer. Maybe play him inside sometimes. Belichick would have a field day with this guy. If other teams don't know what position he's going to play in the pros, Belichick will make sure he doesn't play a position in the pros. Is how I look at it. So I think he'd be a good pickup. Give him a bit of pass rush as well,
yeah,
which they need bad. Then your boy Poe, I've got him going to Green Bay.
Yeah, sticking next to
BJ Raji.
Yeah.
Well, the way I look at it is, they need more pass rush and just to fix the D in general in Green Bay. The offense is fine; they can ignore that for a whole year if they want.
Yeah.
And I think Raji is at his best when he's getting a bit of penetration, trying to get into the backfield, which the nose tackle position doesn't particularly allow for, especially in Dom Capers' scheme. So I look at when they won the Super Bowl, they had Cullen Jenkins playing end, and he was that kind of player. So I figure Raji can just fulfill that role, and then you have Dontari Poe to be a blob in the middle at nose. And Raji was really poor last season, so trying to be that just pure nose tackle. So to me, it would make a lot of sense.
Because I've got Poe going a lot earlier, I'm going to go Devin Steele.
Yeah.
A bit more consistent, maybe the type of guy who can hold up, do like a Paul Solo job, maybe like hold up the line a little bit and allow everyone else to rush in.
Fair enough.
I see him picking up Poe as well with Raji. It just works.
Yeah, Poe is just one of them guys, it's hard to predict.
Yeah.
He's not good, you know. You look at the tape, he's probably not worth picking in the first round, let alone the top sort of 16, but then the ability is there for him to be, you know, an absolute dominant player. Like,
I think Clay Matthews would be more than happy to have someone on there just to take the pressure off him a little bit, because
he played really well. It's just he had no help. He was being doubled so often.
Well, yeah, because no one else was getting pressure like he can. So
there was no pressure from Green Bay last year. It was, he got a good secondary, but you can only cover for so long.
Yeah, again, I want to see Clay Matthews in a better mood next year, because I love it when that guy's in a great mood, because he makes some absolutely brilliant.
He's a funny guy.
Mics. Yeah, it's great. I want to see that guy have another happy year.
Yeah.
Happy year means happy chappers.
Exactly.
Alright, Baltimore. Again, I think they'll be dancing in the street if it pans out this way. I've got them taking Peter Kons, the centre from Wisconsin, who can apparently also play a bit of guard. I say apparently, he can.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect for him. Matt Burke, career dwindling down. Ben Grubbs is off to New Orleans. He can play guard for a couple of years until Burke retires and then slot over if need be.
Yep.
I think he's a good player. I think this is a perfect. This is as easy a pick as there is in the draft.
Yeah,
he may also be the best player on the board. I can't even talk long about this one. It just makes that much sense to me.
Yeah.
Next up, the Niners. I've got them taking David Wilson. I think they could do a running back to spell Gore. Gore's also getting up there in age. He's been injured a few times in his career.
That makes sense.
If not, I could see him going for a tight end. Fleener, you know, obviously Harbaugh knows him fairly well from his time in Stanford. I could see that. Those are the two I'm sort of thinking
him,
right now.
Have him and Vernon Davis.
Do the whole Patriots thing.
Nice blankets for Smith. It's quite a nice pick.
But I do think Wilson would be the priority.
No, fair enough.
But those are the two directions. Both agreed there.
Yeah.
I like it near the end. It's nice and simple now.
Yeah, pretty much.
New England, a guy you've probably not heard of, Shea McClellan, or McClellan, I think his name is.
Never heard of.
Boise State, outside backer / defensive end. I've got the Pats taking him to play outside backer and a bit of defensive end in their hybrid scheme. He's now the second rated backer on Mike Mayock's big board. Mm-hmm. Originally, I'd have had him in the second round, but if Mayock says he's the second best outside linebacker in the draft, teams will listen because it's Mike Mayock. As well as that, I'm pretty sure he's well informed, and if you watch the guy on tape, he's a good player. He doesn't have like that massive upside, he's not a physical freak, but he's a rock solid player, the sort of guy I can imagine Belichick would have a ton of fun with, just talking football and about trucks and manly things like he did with Gerald Mayo apparently. So yeah, he'd be a great pickup for him. As I've said, Belichick loves versatility from his backers, and I think he's going to probably, after last year's failed experiment with the 4-3, he's going to go back to his old school 3-4, I think. And I think the two backers that they're going to take in the first round will allow him to do that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And then I've got the Giants taking Kobe Fleener to round things out. Because, yeah, I don't know who they're planning to catch the ball at tight end this year, with the two of them going down in the Super Bowl. So Fleener's a pretty good player. I think they'd like to go running back, but I don't know who they'd...
Tight end screams out to be more of this for them.
Fair enough. So yeah, and that is the first round mock. I feel pretty good about that for now. I'm going to update it the week before the draft, but for now,
you'll have to keep that for when we actually do our special edition on the draft. We're going to record it live.
Yeah, I'm going to be rating myself. See if I can beat my all-time best of 9.
When was that?
2 years ago.
All right, cool.
I tend not to. The problem I have is, like last year, my mock went horribly wrong because I kind of picked what I thought teams should do as opposed to what would happen. Because, you know, the day before the draft, everyone knew Cam Newton was going to go 1, then Von Miller, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
I was
really
like, well, I'm going to do it how I want to do it, and it all went wrong.
It was mainly Atlanta's fault, really.
Once there's a trade, you know, a mock draft falls to bits.
Yep.
So, and there will be trades this year.
Of course.
There will be many trades, I feel. As I've said, in the first round, I absolutely see someone trading up for Richardson. One of my favourites for that is Cincy New England, because they got the two picks and they both need a running back. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Alright, with that done, we'll just do a brief rundown of the news of the last couple of weeks, since there's not really been much.
No, the new Nike have now officially shown us what they've done with the new jerseys.
Yeah.
It's all futuristic.
Yeah, they got me thinking like it looks like Starship Troopers. Yeah. Like that. It does. They're also skin tight, and you know, as they said, there'll be less holding in theory, which is never a bad thing, because I like seeing quarterbacks get drilled.
It doesn't bode well for seeing fat players in skin tights, players like Will Fork, Solai, Terence Cody.
I don't think it matters what those guys wear, it's going to be skin tight. I think it's just clothes are skin tight to them, nothing changes.
Yeah, you'll be seeing jerseys rip. especially if they sack and get
you
a
may well do
going.
Yeah,
you might see some ripping right on. Seahawks, what does everyone think about the Seahawks monstrosity?
I like the numbers. that's the only good thing I can say about them. Other than that, I think they're ugly. I like the new Rams ones. They look sharp. I disagree with the guys on NFL.com that said they should go back to the yellow and blue. They should not
go back to the yellow
and blue. The white and blue from way back when, absolutely, that was snazzy. The yellow and blue, no. My eyes couldn't handle that. Like, imagine watching them across the field from the Bucks, like in their throwbacks.
No.
I could not watch that for 3 hours.
It does seem to be that
my
all
eyes
the
would
uniforms
never forgive
bright.
Me. They are. They've tried to make everything a bit more shiny.
Gonna have to adjust my eyes for that.
Yeah, Dolphins have gone back to a more old school shade of aqua, which I'm happy with because they're at their best when they're
Broncos
painful
have gone
to look
back
at.
To just the orange.
Yeah.
Hey, the aqua is not painful to look at.
It would.
The offense is sometimes painful to look at. But
that must be it. My mistake. Yeah. The thing is, I've heard a lot of people criticize Miami once, but I think it was on NFL.com where someone just said it's just right, like for any team that could get away with that color scheme that it feels correct for. It's Miami. I can buy that.
Yeah.
It was the one team that could get away with aqua and orange.
Well, I'm still not big on the orange.
I don't like the orange alternatives. They're nasty.
No, too bright. I need earmuffs to look at them.
Yeah, if you're going to do orange, you know, the Broncos are allowed to do orange. And I suppose the Bucks throwbacks. And yeah. The Bears, they're allowed to do orange from time to time. But I'd rather they didn't, because I really like their blue uniforms. Gloves, though, the Pro Bowl gloves, they're badass.
I found out they're actually wearing those all year round.
Told you, yeah.
Yeah,
they're awesome, though. How could you not?
It is... They do look awesome. The alternate uniforms, apparently every team is pretty much getting the change when it comes to
alternate
uniforms.
Yeah, that's no surprise. Whether they buy alternates, it means they're going to release throwbacks, you know, new night versions of throwbacks, or you know, like the many teams that have that alternate black jersey that for most of them never ever
Jags
wear.
Jags are saying they're getting that as well.
The Bucks got a black throwback, a black alternate. I don't think they've ever actually worn it in game. Anyone? So yeah, it'll be interesting to see alternates. I like the new jerseys though; they're sharp.
Yeah, they do look good.
And yes, this is important football talk, by the way, for those listening. Jerseys and uniforms are very, very important to me.
It's important when there's nothing else to talk about. It's literally just trying to fill up the time.
Yeah,
it really hasn't been that much now.
No, we're at that stage of the season.
The draft is
there's the odd guy that's going to be bought in. You know, the third and fourth tier. Sort of guys, I suppose. You know, there's pro days that have happened. You know, Richardson ran fast. Claiborne did terribly, apparently, in the Wonderlic, but that's fine because it's corner.
Yeah.
I mean, how much do you have to learn to play corner? Play this zone, blitz, man cover this guy. Learn tendencies. He was so good in college. I don't think it's an issue.
As long as the guy can tackle, I'm pretty sure you'll be happy.
Yeah, exactly. If he can, he can tackle. I can say that much.
Yeah.
And the preseason schedule has also been announced for anyone that cares.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, it's usually the same for Florida teams. The Dolphins will play the Bucks. We'll probably play the Jags and the Falcons. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, Arizona at Tennessee. You versus your brother.
Yeah. I get to see that.
Well done. You two will now officially care about that game more than anyone else.
Well, you know, there's all the sibling rivalry and all that. You can tell there's not been much news when we're talking about uniforms in pre-season.
Hey, uniforms, right? Even if it was a busy news week, I was going to talk about the uniforms.
Yeah, you've got a fairly tough opener for Andrew Luck when he goes to the Colts. They've got to go to Pittsburgh.
That's week two.
Nah, it's week two. They've only revealed those are just the games that are on national TV.
Oh, fair enough. I guess they were.
Yeah, the Bucks can't even get a national TV game in preseason.
Yeah,
but at least the Tennessee runs on ESPN. That's all good. I can watch that one.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That'd be something.
Yeah.
All right. What else has come up? Yeah, as we hinted at, Mikel LeSean and.
Obviously, there's been news about Asante Samuel.
He got caught with eating weed.
Eating weed?
Yeah, he got caught and he'd like tried to eat it. Driving around at night. Who was the other guy? Fairley, he got caught with it as well. So them Detroit draft picks from last year, both of them have had injury problems and now they have pot problems, so it's not great for the Lions fans.
They should have just said it was medicinal
and they got away with it maybe in the state of California, not in Detroit. So yeah, that's tough on them. As a Buccaneers fan, I know what it's like to have players suspended for use of cannabis. Nard Jackson, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, Ricky Williams on my side. Yeah,
exactly. We know your pain right now.
Yeah.
The Saints are appealing the bounties. I expect nothing to come of that whatsoever.
Absolutely. They might be a bit more lenient with the players, but I hope they're not. I like Roger Goodell's stance on bounty gate. I hope
suspension might go down by the tiniest amount.
Yeah,
maybe not for the likes of Peyton and
those are the guys he's trying to make an example of, whether it's fair or not. I still think ultimately Peyton has to be blamed. He was the head coach. Regardless of what anyone says to me, he knew what was going on, because how can you not? You're the coach of that team. you're responsible. He's the guy who ultimately has to be held responsible. So,
yeah.
And then I suppose the Parcells thing, there's the one big bit of news. Does anyone actually see this happening?
No, I just don't see him coming back.
I think one season. Parcells really hasn't got that much to lose. He's going to be with a depleted squad anyway. The Vikings have tried talking to him, but he's not interested. He's just said no straight out.
Minnesota are a long way from contending.
Well, yeah.
The Saints, all right, you may have to overcome these defensive suspensions, but other than that, that's a Super Bowl ready team.
It'll work for Parcells. He'll give the offense to Drew Brees, I imagine, should they get him signed up, and then
you'd be mad not
just,
to.
Yeah, then he'll just concentrate on the D. No, I think that'll work.
I think it's going to happen as well, to be honest. If not, it'll be Spags, because he's the only other guy with experience. So, although I suppose Joe Vitt got that little bit of experience last year after Peyton blew out his knee. Has anything else happened of note?
Apart from the apparent trade with Tennessee.
Rumours that they're interested in Asante Samuel.
But apparently Lions are interested as well.
Yeah, so they should be. As we've said, they need corner help.
Apparently,
he's willing to take a pay cut as well, he's going to have to take a pay cut because he's on silly money.
Yeah, we're saying only back to the uniforms.
I saw Cortland Finnegan in a Rams jersey. It was disgusting. Did not like it.
I must have bought you pain.
It did, quite a lot of it.
It's tough seeing.
He was my boy.
Yeah, it's tough. I had to see, Warren Sapp in a Raiders jersey and John Lynch running around in a Broncos jersey. It was tough for me.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, that's the peril of the sports fan. Oh well, I can't complain too much, I suppose. Brooksy finished his career out with the Bucks, and Rondé will do the same. So 2 for 4, that's pretty good, I suppose.
Yeah,
that's as much as you can hope for these days. That'll probably wrap it up this week.
Oh, hang on, yeah. What about the Madden cover? Has there been any more news about?
If there was, I wouldn't want to talk about it.
Who would you want? Just out of interest, who would you want to see on the front?
Cam Newton, so he gets injured.
I go with that, yeah. As a Buccaneers fan, Cam Newton, 1, he deserves it, and 2, if the curse does exist, yeah, I could do with him being cursed.
I don't think I could deal with seeing his smug face on that when I'm buying it.
I'll just take the cover up.
He's allowed to be smug. He was awesome last year.
Yeah, I know, but Jesus Christ, there's a lot of smug.
As long as there's no one from my division on it. Well, I would like someone from my division, because then they'd suffer from the Madden curse, but at the same time, I don't want to be looking at that.
Mojo.
Oh, actually, I would like Mojo to be on there.
That's one less
problem for us next year.
Yeah, alright, well, good stuff this week. As ever, guys, feel free to get in touch. I'm free now, so we'll be able to make contact with you. So, have a good week, and we'll be back on Sunday.
See you later, guys.
Cheers, guys.